Shalom Aleichem, Chavarim. Well, this is the fifth year that I, Michael ben David, of the tribe of Levi, have shared my story and the story of my heroic relative, Hadassah bat Avichael, better known as Esther. This week, we celebrated the festival of Purim, the festival of lots. This is a festival that recognizes a miracle of salvation against an attempt of genocide. Many of us are familiar with the story behind Purim, but not all of us are aware of the message of Purim for us in the 21st century. Ask any Jewish person who Haman was, and she or he will respond immediately. If they are younger and have no inhibitions, you may have to cover your ears. There is no question of the story of Purim being well ingrained into our minds, hearts, and the collective memories of my people. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said of the rest of the human race. Our task as Messianic believers, Jew and Gentile alike, is to inform the world that the time of Haman is today, and that we have and will face many Hamans before the second coming of Yeshua HaMoshiach, the Messiah, the King of Kings. Abba Father, our great and mighty God, I pray that our hearts will be open today to hear the story of Mordechai, Hadassah, Esther, and especially Haman. And that in doing so, we may understand that the message that comes from the book of Hadassah, the book of Esther, has great significance for us today, and that we must pay attention to it if we are to be witnesses to the coming atrocities. The story of Esther and Mordechai and Haman will be told in its entirety this afternoon after Oneg. I do hope you brought your groggers and other noisemakers. If not, we have some for you here. You will need them. What is a Haman or Haman? Moving away from the initial context of Purim and the Assyrian conquest of Judah, the Jewish people have witnessed the rise and fall of many Hamans over the centuries. Each age has seen its Haman emerge as a threat to the existence of Jewish people and to their supporters. Just within the 20th and 21st centuries, we have witnessed the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler, the madman who attempted genocide against the Jews of Europe, and Joseph Stalin, whose attacks of systematic starvation against the Ukraine were focused on the large number of Jews who lived there. Indeed, it is estimated over 1 million Jews died in the Stalinistic pogrom. There are several ways in which the spirit of Haman lives with us today. A Haman is anyone who wishes to exterminate, enslave, or otherwise entrap the Jewish people for no other reason than they are Jewish. This is anti-Semitism at its most virulent, a disease of the mind implanted and inflamed by HaSatan in his vitriolic attempts to destroy Adonai's chosen people, and therefore annul the promises of Adonai Elohim Tzvaot to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if he can succeed in this, which of course he can't, then he destroys the promise of salvation for everyone. The spirit of Haman lives in those who would draw believers from their trust of and faith in the one true God through false teachings and illegitimate authority. And they can be so seductive, so smooth in their approach. Be aware, I urge you, of Adonai Yeshua's warning to us found in Matthew 7. Beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? When Queen Esther told her cousin Mordecai to prepare their people for the threat of massacre, Mordecai, according to the ancient rabbis, gathered all the children of the region and taught them Torah and the culture of their people. During this period of time, some 3,000 years ago, the study of Torah was outlawed in the diaspora. Children lost their sense of Jewishness, called today Yiddishkeit, and really had no understanding of their heritage. Unfortunately, we see this happening today amongst our people, many of whom do not know Torah and have little knowledge or understanding of the rich heritage which has come to them from many centuries of struggles faced by Jewish people around the world. I look to my own grandchildren who are being raised in secular, non-spiritual homes without an understanding of the rich heritage into which they were born. And this grieves me sorely. However, Adonai Elohim has given us guidelines for survival based in the study of Torah. As we read in Proverbs 4, my son, pay attention to what I am saying. Incline your ears to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them deep in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole being. And in Proverbs 9, we find, for with me your days will be increased, years will be added to your life. Before we go further, I need to remind you the study of Torah is insufficient for these promises to come to fruition unless we believe they will. When Adonai caused these words to be scribed by Solomon, he meant more than just studying. He meant doing. All along, our great Abba wanted us to be doers of Torah, applying the lessons of God's life instructions to our lives, as we read in the first chapter of Yaakov. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. When we lose sight of the guidance and instructions of Torah, we enter into trouble and strife, as evidenced by many throughout the world who have ignored the life-giving guidance found within Adonai's manual for life. For example, the instruction to show love to your neighbor found in Leviticus 19, verse 18, is further reaching than the obvious desire to ensure the safety of our neighbors. Contained within this life instruction is the foundation of fellowship and community welfare. If we concern ourselves with the welfare of our neighbors, regardless of their ethnicity or beliefs, we are ensuring the sanctity of not only our community, but also our society. I find no coincidence in the arising of Hamans in almost every generation in which my people have forgotten their covenant with Jehovah and no longer fulfill their commitment to show love to their neighbors. In our generation, we have seen the rise of many Hamans. Counted among these have been Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Hassan Rouhani, the past and current presidents of Iran, Yasser Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas, the past and current presidents of the Palestinian Authority, and countless others within and outside the Middle East. What I have encountered in my life is the reality of the spirit of Haman alive and well in our society today. The spirit has become generalized from the experience of the first Haman to our generation, and has come to mean a spirit of rejection, of abandonment, of ridicule, and of harm towards others merely for the perception of not being respected or treated with the dignity and status one believes to hold, either through an office or through a recognized accomplishment. This is a spirit of division and acts to divide and ultimately destroy community. We often see this spirit flourishing within churches, synagogues, and indeed potentially with any spiritual-based fellowship. Why does this occur? Donald Arthur Carson, a Montreal-based pastor, teaching, and prolific writer, shares with us his understanding of the rise of the spirit of Haman within our congregations today from his work for the love of God. The one whose spirit has been captured by Haman has his focus on power. And I quote, "It is not enough for him to be rich and powerful. He must be richer and more powerful than others." Doubtless some readers suppose that such temptations do not really afflict them because they do not have access to the measures of wealth and power that might make them vulnerable. This is naive. Watch how often people, Christian people included, become unprincipled, silly, easily manipulated when they are in the presence of what they judge to be greatness. One of the great virtues of genuine holiness, a virtue immaculately reflected in the Lord Jesus, is the ability to interact the same way with rich and poor alike, with strong and weak alike. Beware of those who fawn over wealth and power and boast about the powerful people they know. Their spiritual mentor is Haman. Indeed, we read in James 2, "Suppose a man comes into your synagogue wearing gold rings and fancy clothes, and also a poor man comes in dressed in rags. If you show more respect to the man wearing the fancy clothes and say to him, 'Have this good seat here,' while to the poor man you say, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down on the floor by my feet,' then aren't you creating distinctions among yourselves, and haven't you made yourselves into judges with evil motives?" Beloved, when we show partiality to those who are more attractive, have better clothes, or have more appealing personalities, we are demonstrating the spirit of Haman is within us. For the thin edge of the wedge is as dangerous as the wider part, which holds the door to sin wide open. Rav Shaul speaks to us very clearly of the seductive nature of the spirit of Haman as he writes in Colossians 2. "Watch out, so that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy and empty deceit, following human tradition, which accords with the elemental spirits of the world, but does not accord with the Messiah." There are those who in the internet and on social media attempt to seduce us into joining different fringes of belief, messianic and otherwise. Some of these attempt to entice us to turn over all their assets to them, assuring you will be provided for our every need. Others attempt to lead us away from the true spirit of messianic worship and into a legalistic image following Torah. And they are very smooth. We must always be on our guard against these cultist philosophies, for by following them, we run the risk of sacrificing our souls and the salvation for which Adonai Yeshua gave so much. In Matthew 24, Adonai Yeshua warned us, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray." It is interesting to find in Talmud the following comment: Our rabbis taught that the following would happen during the 7 years, the end of which the Son of David is to come. Amongst other events, the Torah will be forgotten by its Talmudim. Could it be we are drawing closer to that 7 year period now, given so many of my people have moved away from Torah and even from the ruling of the rabbis? Through the years, we have witnessed many false teachers come among us. Each has proclaimed to have been anointed by Adonai Elohim himself, and therefore lays claim to be a Messiah. In the 19th and 20th centuries, we have seen the likes of Charles Taze Russell, who ushered in the Jehovah Witnesses, a cult which claims Adonai Yeshua is actually the Archangel Michael, even though he retains the name Jesus and denies the existence of the Trinity. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism. This sect of belief believes and promotes Adonai Elohim is actually an exalted human with a physical body of flesh and bone. They also believe Adonai Yeshua's death and resurrection has paved the way for adherents of all faiths to achieve immortality. And then we have the Church of Scientology, founded by L. Ron Hubbard, which teaches the exact nature of Adonai Abba is determined by each individual person. The nature of Adonai Yeshua is fully human, without universal divinity, and in the reincarnation of the soul. Each of these beliefs has a common theme, a collection of false theologies and doctrines which draws people away from the true nature of our beloved Abba, our blessed Savior, and the Holy Spirit of the living God. How might we recognize the spirit of Haman amongst us? This spirit resides within anyone who seeks to have or actually uses power and control to manipulate people into doing what he or she desires. Have you ever been faced with or overheard these particular plays for power? If you take this action, we will withhold our tithes and offerings. Submit to me, or you won't have a spiritual covering. And if you don't see it my way, I will just pull out, and you can deal without me, and all the work I prepared I will keep. Each one of these comments represents a person who thirsts for power and will stoop to intimidation and coercion in order to achieve or hold onto power and control, as did the Agagite Haman. Rav Shaul in 2 Corinthians 10 warns us, "For although we do live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way, because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have God's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey the Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience." In his letter to the assembly in Corinth, Rav Shaul teaches the Kehila how to battle against the spirits of rebellion, of arrogance, and how to take them captive and force them to be obedient to Adonai Yeshua and to his commands. These spirits often reside in those who would be authoritative but lack the legitimacy. Thus, we must always be wary of those who falsely claim to be authoritative but lack the legitimacy of authority. How do we recognize them? Once again, Rav Shaul provides us with a clear example of the use of illegitimate authority in the figure of Kepha. In Galatians 2, Shaul shares his encounter with the disciple Kepha. "Furthermore, when Kepha came to Antioch, I opposed him publicly because he was clearly in the wrong. For prior to the arrival of certain people from the community headed by Yaakov, he had been eating with the Gentile believers. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he was afraid of the faction who favored circumcising Gentile believers. How does Kefa's behavior indicate illegitimate authority? Shaul claims by giving in to the intimidating tactics of the Judaizers, Kefa was betraying his commitment to both Adonai Yeshua and to his family of believers. Kefa was an authority figure, assuming he was the apostle Kefa, or assuming he was a teaching disciple. As such, by betraying Adonai Yeshua's ethical standards, he moved away from his position of legitimate authority to one of illegitimate authority. He needed to be brought to task by Rav Shaul. Dr. Paul Elliott of Teaching the Word Ministries has paraphrased Rav Shaul's reprimand of Kefa with the following. You are submitting to an illegitimate authority, and in doing so, you are playing the hypocrite. Worse yet, in submitting to this illegitimate authority, you are denying the truth of the gospel. So, Brother Peter, I confront you, not on my own authority, but on the authority of Scripture. End quotes. And so must we all. When we observe one of our brothers or sisters in Messiah displaying an allegiance to an illegitimate authority, we have the duty and the obligation to rebuke her or him in love and to provide guidance and assistance in moving out from the influence of that illegitimacy. If we shirk this responsibility, then by omission, we are condoning the illegitimate authority, and we are equally responsible for the consequences. Does that seem harsh? Yaakov, in his fourth chapter, says to us, so then anyone who knows the right thing to do it and fails to do it is committing a sin. As well, in Isaiah 59, we are told, rather, it is your own crimes that separate you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't hear. Beloved, are we willing to suffer the wrath of our holy Abba because of fear of rejection, embarrassment, or any other self-centered concern we may have, which prevents us from acting, from stepping out in trust and helping a loved and respected brother or sister also step away from the consequences of following false teachers and false messiahs? Are we willing to betray our love for him and our commitment to his word by ignoring our responsibilities to our brothers and sisters in Messiah? I urge all of us to look at these questions seriously for our futures as well as the future of those within our mishpacha, our family, are at stake. Ask Adonai Elohim Tzivaot for the courage and the integrity to stand up to false messiahs, false teachers, and false authorities, and stand up for Adonai Yeshua and his teachings. Abba Father, our mighty, mighty Jehovah, I pray that your courage and your strength are given to each one of us to support, uphold, confront our brothers and sisters as we move together as one body of Messiah in his service. I pray, Abba, that you give us the boldness to speak truth in love to any brother or sister who betrays your love through ignorance, through shame, through embarrassment, or through fear. and that we stand up and support those who do step forward to help their brothers and sisters return to your life instructions, your Torah. B'Shem Yeshua Moshiachenu, in his beloved name we pray. Amen.